It is my great honor to share a brief summary of overview of Barry's life as shared to me through the words of his beloved Yvonne. Barry William Strachick was born October 28, 1932 to Doris and William and grew up in the Cleveland, Ohio area. An only child, he enjoyed the company of his parents who were married for 50 years, and he also was close to his aunts and uncles and the cousins with whom he spent summers often growing up. A special treat was time with his extended family on Lake Erie each summer when he was a child, and he loved fishing with his dad especially. Yvonne recalls that Barry was grateful for and spoke often of the life lessons he learned from his parents, especially his mother, whom he credits with teaching him to value inclusivity of all kinds, despite the blatant racism that was expressed by other people in their circle. His mother, Doris, may well have planted the seeds that led to his later career in federal civil rights protections and enforcement. And then there was, of course, his mom's blueberry pie. Barry attended Shaw High School, then Miami University of Ohio, and then served in the US Army in Germany during the Korean conflict. He returned to earn a BA in political science and a master's degree in labor economics, both from Ohio State University. Barry married his first wife, Mary Jo, or Jody McPherson, in 1959, and they lived in Ohio, Missouri, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C. as their family grew, with Keir and Nathan and Marty being born. Traveling and watching football and time with extended family in Indiana were all golden, and Barry was a scout leader for his oldest two children. Barry's working life during these years centered around civil rights and the common good. He was active in the Democratic Socialists of America, founded by Michael Harrington. His career was with the National Urban League, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or the EEOC. Barry appreciated that the federal government gave him the opportunity to work towards justice and equity, which were principles that mattered a great deal to him. In 1976, Barry met Yvonne Schumann when they were both working for the EEOC. Yvonne was working for the San Francisco office, she recalls, on a special project to move people from typewriters to computers. There were lots of things that had to be redone, forms and all sorts of procedures, and they were all getting put together with standardized questions for every issue. So three people from the field worked on the project, and Barry was, at that time, the deputy director for field services, overseeing all the district and regional offices across the country. And he was the interim executive director assigned to support the team. This was at a time that the EEOC was getting a lot of bomb threats and would have to evacuate their offices on a rather regular basis. So Yvonne remembers that there was one day that there was an extended evacuation, and so everyone was out on the plaza and got to talk to one another, and Yvonne and Barry struck up a conversation that seemed to go on, and afterward seemed to need to be continued. So there it began. Later, they reconnected at another training and continued to be in conversation, and eventually Yvonne moved to Washington and moved to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. Yvonne and Barry were married in 1980. Of those times, Yvonne wrote, "When I first moved to D.C. to be with Barry, I wasn't quite sure our relationship would endure. It was, significantly, seeing his interactions with his children, especially young Marty, and enjoying being with them myself, that convinced me that I wanted us to be married and have a child of our own." That was Brendan, born in 1981, the same day, January 10th, as his half-brother Nathan had been born 19 years earlier. Yvonne recalled, "We had many special times with the kids. We especially loved traveling and adventures with Marty and having Kier and Nathan and their friends over to our place on Sundays to hoop and holler over NFL football games." Barry was an avid fan of the Washington Redskins in their heyday. Yvonne said that Barry's career included holding federal civil rights hearings in the Deep South in the 1960s for the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, writing team reports for the President, Congress, and citizens about the issues of civil rights, and after moving to the EEOC, managing the field offices across the country that handled the investigation and conciliation of discrimination complaints, a form of work that was not without controversy in those days. He was also involved with research projects, systems adaptions, and special projects for the executive director. Of Barry's life, work life, Yvonne recalled, "He was known by colleagues to be a dedicated, hard worker and to care a lot about justice and being a good citizen. He was known to be an independent thinker and a friend of many at all levels, from clerical to executive." When Brendan was born, the family was living in Silver Spring. When Barry took early retirement in 1989, they moved to Nevada City, California, after exploring living in the Bay Area and realizing they could not afford to live in the Bay Area, something that we all continue to remember. They settled in Nevada City on 20 acres and reconnected with Unitarian Universalism, which I'll talk about in a minute, became leaders of the Sierra Foothills Unitarian Universalists in Auburn. Yvonne, as a lifelong UU, quickly became a leader, including board president. But Barry and Yvonne were among the founders and charter members of the UU Community of the Mountains in Grass Valley. And Yvonne, who had started yearning to become a minister, was eventually to become the acting district executive for the UU Pacific Central District, commuting from their home all the way to Oakland, which is not a small commute. Now, Barry had been a part of the Congregational Church when he was a teenager, and when the minister at that time was a civil rights activist. After the congregation fired him for his activism when Barry was in high school, he was quite disillusioned and lost all interest in organized religion for many years. They reconnected with the churches because of their desire to have Brendan have that connection, and they tried first Cedar Lane in Bethesda, and where they joined together, Yvonne and Barry. From then on, Yvonne said, "He was right there with me." She says, "I remember sitting in services, holding hands, and the experience of taking in the message together, and the feelings of the service was always augmented by sharing it together. They were active even in that first place as ushers and helping in religious education and adult education." As I mentioned, Barry believed and worked to expand equity, equality for his career. And it was also, though, very important to have time with family and friends, which allowed him to display his sense of humor. He and Yvonne enjoyed time in nature and also visiting cities, playing cards and board games, watching TV and films. And he, Barry, enjoyed reading great books, engaging in, as Yvonne said, schmoozing, especially political conversations, eating out, and most especially donuts and root beer and still blueberry pie. After Yvonne had convinced him to go to the church, Barry attended regularly and helped with pledging, ushering, and other social events, and he even preached once about his civil rights career. When pushed theologically, he would say he was an atheist or an agnostic. What mattered most to him was how we live our lives and how we treat one another. Our closest friends, Yvonne recalled, were from church for most of our married life, and he supported my calling into ministry with enthusiasm. Just after his 70th birthday, Barry had a major heart attack, which resulted in a six-way bypass. In hospital and rehab for many weeks, during which he had strokes and dementia began to appear, he was able to recover enough to go home and coming back to drive and even worked part-time for a store. Being on a house with 15 acres, though, was no longer something that made sense, so Yvonne decided to go back to seminary to become a minister, and Barry was right there with me, she said, and very supportive. While Yvonne was in seminary, Barry was sent for assessment and ended up with a diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment. Barry and Yvonne moved to Berkeley for her to complete her degree in 2004, and then to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Boston, Massachusetts, and Brighton, Michigan, following Yvonne's parish calling. Barry and Yvonne retired to Rossmoor here in Walnut Creek in 2015, which allowed them also to be closer to Yvonne's mother. There, Barry's friendliness earned him that moniker of the mayor of Oakmont, as he would wave to every car driving by while walking his dog, Sammy, daily, still schmoozing with all the people that he met along the way. Many medical issues put him in and out of the hospital in deeper dementia, and he went into palliative care in 2021 and into hospice in the fall of 2022. He always appreciated the opportunity to get news of his children and their partners, and of Connor and Liam and Locke and Marissa, and also more recently of Ellis and August. He was preceded in death by his great-granddaughter, Violet Joan. Barry loved the natural world, especially exploring national parks and hiking and climbing mountains. So before his last birthday, he and Yvonne had a conversation in which he said he would dearly love to see the mountains again. And Yvonne, an amazing caregiver, made that happen as well. A three-night stay in Mariposa and Yosemite and a nice birthday dinner, which didn't all go exactly as planned, but still got him to see the mountains. He made it to his 90th birthday with deep gratitude to the Suncrest Hospice staff who helped him make his days as good as they could be. And he was able to die at home in peace on April 29th at the age of 90 and a half, surrounded by those and the memories of those who loved him. And now we'll have an opportunity to hear from Barry's children as they remember him.